This week on the Time Bat Show.
Do you remember VTech?
Yes, I don't know what it is, though.
I had an Acura with VTech.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but it had it. I think it's velocity technology or something stupid like that.
Was it good?
I don't know. I guess I loved that car, so I guess it was okay, but...
Maybe that's the problem with your current car.
It just means the VTech.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Time Bat Show, episode 140-something. I'm one of your hosts, Time Aces.
I'm your other host, Bat Snacks.
And we've got a hell of a show for you today, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
First off, we're talking through Skype, as we always do. And yeah. You, right before the show, told me that I had messaged you through Skype through another Skype account that I had.
Yes.
And the story behind this is, what was this, a month or two ago, right? I started using another computer because my laptop broke. And Microsoft made me sign up with another Skype account. And I got really frustrated because it wasn't letting me do it. I had to have, like, a Microsoft account because Skype's dumb. So, like, in a fit of anger, I created a new Skype account and I named the person John Bugenhagen. And
yes.
I made a really unsecure password with John Bugenhagen. And apparently now I have two Skype accounts. I have my normal one that we normal talk on, and I have John Bugenhagen. And according to you, John Bugenhagen has been
logged. He's been online ever since. Every single time we sign on to do the show, I just assumed you're signed into both accounts at the same time. I guess that's not true.
It's not. I mean, I don't have two Skypes open right now. I don't know.
Here's the thing, though. I'm like 90% sure we told this story on the show before, and you actually said what the password was.
So it could be somebody.
Yeah, when we went to do the show today, first I got a message from John Bugenhagen. I was like, okay, it's Chris, because you said your special greeting that we use for each other that sure. No one else knows. I'm not going to say it.
But sure, we do have a special
greeting. We have a special greeting we use. Yeah.
That's true.
And I got that from John Bugenhagen, and I replied, okay, I'm ready. And the call didn't start. And then I got another message from you that said, okay, I'm ready.
What's going on?
Is
John Bugenhagen, like, stalking me? Like, did someone hack into John? Well, they wouldn't really have to hack. They would just have to listen to an episode where I said the password out loud. They hack into John Bugenhagen. They know we record around this time. And then they wait.
That account is online all the time. Maybe they're just there, waiting.
How do they know the secret greeting passphrase?
That's the thing, though. How do they know how we greet each other in private?
That's freaky.
We have a secret key we use.
We do. It's cool that we have that, even though we didn't really know that we... Like, I didn't realize it was a secret key until just now. You know what I mean? Which is kind of cool. We've had the secret passphrase for, like... I don't know. How long has it been?
20 years.
It's so weird. It's so weird to talk about because I just take it for granted. But, yeah, we have a secret greeting. And, no one would really know about it unless they heard us say it or whatever before. So how did John Bugenhagen...
Anyway, that was the weird thing about John Bugenhagen is he said the right greeting to me. So I immediately just thought you were using the other account.
But then real me said, okay, I'm ready, right after that, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense.
Interesting enough, you both had the same initial message. It was the same greeting. Same punctuation.
Wait. So did John Bugenhagen message it? And then I messaged it as me? So there are two separate greeting messages. Right? Is that
and
true?
They're exactly the same.
Well, to be fair, it's not that long characters. But I know what you mean.
God, that's weird.
And were they around the same time?
Yeah, it was minutes before. One was it, yeah, it was like 3 minutes apart.
Three minutes?
It wasn't immediately afterward. Yeah, that's another weird thing, dude, because...
Okay, so if it was like 20 seconds after, I'd be like, all right, they're like linked or something.
Yeah.
But 3 minutes is like, that's weird.
There's another actor here. Do you know what I think it is?
What?
I think you created a ghost in the machine.
That is me?
Here's what you did. In your fit of passionate anger when you were angry at Skype, you brought all that anger together and bestowed it into John Bugenhagen. And now John Bugenhagen roams the Skype network.
Waiting.
Waiting.
He's like, all my anger.
Yes.
Essentially, like, put in one entity. That's scary. If there was like a AI that was just based off my anger, that would be very frightening.
I think that's what it is. It's his name would be John Bugenhagen. That's a great name for your anger.
For my anger AI, yeah. John Bugenhagen. I'm going to start using that in social situations. When I start getting really angry, I'm going to be like, John Bugenhagen's coming out right now. It's like my anger persona, who's now on the internet. So anyway, that's a mystery. I really don't know what's going on. It's weird that it's 3 minutes apart. That's the really spooky part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
I definitely have two Skype accounts. I don't know what's going on with the other one, though, because I basically made that and forgot about it until just now. So if any other weird stuff happens with John Bugenhagen, please let me know. Because I would love nothing more than to prove ghosts exist through this stupid podcast. AI ghosts, that is, you know, not real ones.
One day he's gonna like message me out of the blue and it'll just be this weird political rant. I'll be like, what?
He'll be Are you okay? Hello, Batsnax. And he'd be like, hi. And he'll be like, start saying, and you're like, is this Chris or is this somebody else? This is confusing.
Or you know that, like, that really long monologue from I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream?
Yeah, yeah.
For blah, 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 I've waited. I've waited in hate and blah, blah, I'm gonna get you.
And he's gonna, like, capitalize some of the words or whatever.
Yeah.
And this would be spooky. It wouldn't be that effective because you have to be online to get them, right? So it's not like he can text message you this in the middle of the night.
No.
Maybe the next time you're watching Air Traffic Controller or whatever in the middle of the night, you'll get a Skype message from John Bugenhagen. And then you'll text me and be like, hey, was that you or was that John Bugenhagen? This sounds like the beginning of a really cool, scary movie, though. You know?
It does, doesn't it?
Right? Like, someone, like, uploads their... Not intentionally uploads. Uploads their, like, anger persona into the internet. And it, like, takes on a life of its own. But, like, the guy's friends think it's really him because he's using an alias and using words that the guy would use, so they all think it's him. But in reality,
yeah,
it's his anger persona. It's wild.
If you think about it this way, we're going to get really deep real quick.
That's fine.
So if you create a persona online and other people copy your persona and they do it too... Like, you know, on like websites and especially like joke websites, people, there's like sarcastic humor
personas.
Styles.
Yeah.
There's anger styles. There's like the angry, sardonic nerd style that all the podcasts do and everything.
Yeah.
So when you play a persona, is that like, are you like letting something into your self? Are they their own separate thing? Or
are they
do
part
they,
of you?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's something I think about.
I mean, it's like, this is deep, I'm sorry, but you started it. It's like that, like, theory of your consciousness expanded out of your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people assume your consciousness is just inside your head, right?
Right.
But, like, some people think your consciousness extends past your brain
yeah.
to, like, the collective unconscious, if you will, right?
Yeah.
And, like, in that way, this sounds super new agey bullshit, which it probably is. But in that way, like, you are kind of simultaneously your own consciousness and a reflection of other people's unconsciousness.
Yeah.
In a weird way. And that's kind of like your example of the internet. Like, you've put yourself out there, and other people are, like, taking that and using it as themselves.
Yeah.
And now they're becoming them and you at the same time. Like, they've molded into a singular entity that's part you, part them.
Yeah. You explained that really well, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't stumble at all. So, I was thinking about this recently. I've been working on Twitter things all week, and... Mm-hmm. When I've been going to sleep at night, I've been, like, thinking about Twitter as a thing. Like, what is it? And it's what like are the implications of Twitter? Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking, like, maybe Twitter is its own thing, man. Maybe the AI's already here.
Oh, and Twitter has already, like, they've already lost control of it. It's already, like, off doing its own thing.
Maybe we're not using Twitter at this point. Maybe it's using
Twitter's
us.
Twitter's using us. I mean, they have AI at this point that's kind of self-propagating, right? And when you set up an AI, like, especially for Twitter, because I think a lot of your stuff that you've been doing is, like, tests of, like, how do I automatically follow and, you know, have a bot that does all this stuff on Twitter, automatically follow and retweet and respond and blah, 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 blah. But, like, they already have a lot of those bots on Twitter, right? Like, all the corporations have them. And there are always... responding to other people and, like, following and retweeting and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And, like, it's impossible. It's a really interesting question. It's like the Turing test. You know, the Turing test is, for those unfamiliar with the Turing test, it's a test that you can do on a computer to tell whether or not it's an AI or a human. So, like, if you had a person behind a wall, give them a bunch of questions, depending on how they respond, you can determine whether or not they are human or they're AI. And on Twitter... it's kind of really hard to determine whether an account is a bot or not.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some are easier than others, but not all.
That's what I've been working on all week, just how to tell the difference between a bot and a person. The most effective test I've found so far is it's just a weird guess where it's like, okay, this Twitter account looks like it's really hard to keep up with. Like, it would take a lot of... real life time to do everything this account is doing.
So it's like a volume thing. Like, if this is too much to process.
And then you just have to think, well, does a person spend that much time on Twitter? Maybe they do, maybe they don't.
Maybe they do, though. That's the thing. Like, we can't discount the fact that some people might just be Twittering all the time. You know what I mean? And you see some people with, like, 50,000 Twitter followers, right? And you ask yourself, like, is this a real person? Because a real person, how do they have the time to consistently tweet this much all the time and maintain their follower count? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
It's, yeah. So I've been making Twitter bots this week, and the main goal of my bots is I want to find a way to make a robot that can achieve the same goals that people have on Twitter, which is mostly, like, get more followers, get more attention, like, be
win
more influential.
Win Twitter, basically.
Yeah, win Twitter.
Yeah.
And that's
what have you found?
That's my directive. And while doing that, I made one for our account, or we already had one, but I made some changes to it. And I got it to, like, we had 50 followers before. Now we have, like, about 450 as of this podcast. So
that's good.
That was massively successful.
That's definitely really impressive. Every time I check it, I see more and more people following.
Yeah. I've kind of estimated that in about a week and a half, we'll have probably 1,000, which will be a cool party.
And the thing about Twitter followers is I read a thing is the more you have, like, the curve is exponential. Right, so the more you have, the faster you gain more.
Yeah.
And I don't really know why that is, but I think there's some kind of algorithm that, you know, somehow it does it. I don't really know how it works, but...
yeah. In the process of trying to, like, automate getting us followers, though, I found some, like, weird, very troubling trends. And it seems like there are these huge networks of Twitter bots that have tens of thousands of followers that all work towards one goal.
What's the one goal?
Well, I think it depends.
Depends,
like,
on what it is.
I found a bunch of bots that all follow each other, that all tweet Bible stuff or, like, religious stuff. Or I found, like, a bunch of bots that all work together, follow each other, retweet each other, that all promote some political idea.
Right. So it's like a very specific ideology.
Yeah.
But it's the interesting part, you say they are all following each other. So it's impossible to tell how many of their followers are bots and how many of their followers are real people, right? At that point, isn't it?
I mean, I would guess that almost all of them are bots because they just, all they do is retweet each other.
That's an interesting concept, though. So, like, let's say you want to get really famous on Twitter. Or you want a bot to get really famous on Twitter. You make a shit ton of bots, which is not that hard to do. You just need enough computers and, you know, servers, basically. Server, I don't know.
You don't even need servers.
You need a few computers and, you know, a bunch of scripts, I guess, running. But anyway, so you get all these bots. You get them all to follow each other. Let's say you get up to, let's be reasonable, 10,000, okay?
Yeah, 10,000
followers. Then they all start retweeting each other and all this stuff, right? They all follow each other. Now, at some point, and you gotta follow some other people that aren't bots too. You gotta have, like, I don't know, 100 people you follow that aren't bots, but mostly just bots. Now, the 100 people that they follow, they might start noticing, hey, this bot's retweeting an interesting thing, and follow them. And now, I feel like a thing on Twitter definitely happens is when people see something that they like, content they like, they look at the Twitter account and they check how many followers that person has.
Yeah.
And then they're like, if this person has this many followers, like 10,000, and they have this cool content, I'm going to follow them because to me that says other people like their past content. You know what I mean? It gives like, it's like a seal of approval. So it's like, I like this content, people like this person, I'm going to follow this person. So then you get to the point where like, yeah, you had 10,000 followers, they're all bots, but people are like tricked into following them because they have so many followers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, what spooked me though is, like you said, just say you create 10,000 Twitter accounts, you have them all follow each other. Now you control 10,000 accounts with 10,000 followers. If you make all of them at once retweet a politician you like.
Oh, yeah.
That's massive.
Then
that's
it looks like
culture changing.
Then it looks like 10,000 people have just retweeted something, when in reality it's been 10,000 bots.
Yeah, not only 10,000 people, 10,000 very influential people.
But to the general public, they have no idea that there are all these bots. So to them, this looks like 10,000 really famous, well, semi-famous people on Twitter really care about this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read about it now or whatever. They're like self-promoting a thing without everyone realizing it's self-promotion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's super...
That's scary.
Crazy and weird.
We're hurtling faster and faster towards a Philip K. Dick dystopian future, like, right now. Like, it's so fun to watch this. I know it's super depressing. We talk about on the show a lot how depressing the future is. But, like, it's fun to watch... Because I know all these things are going wrong, and I know how terrible the future can be. And as it comes to pass, I'm just like, yep, I knew that was going to happen. Yep, I knew that was going to happen. Yep, I knew that was going to happen. You know, and we talk about it all the time, and I don't know. It's fun for me. It's like watching the world collapse on itself in a way.
Yeah.
Like, I know that sounds really morbid and depressing, but, like, it's fun to watch this.
You know how you know how in The Dark Knight, Alfred likes to say, I don't like to say I told you so, or something? Uh-huh. I definitely like to say I told you so.
Like, we all know it's coming. And, like, every time one of us brings up one of these topics, it's like, and I told you so. Like, yeah, we knew that was going to happen. And it just confirms that, like, yeah, our paranoia was suspicion. I was having this conversation with someone recently of, like, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I am about, like, technology and the trends of technology.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, we are 100% going into dystopian future of technology right now. We're not just going, we're hurtling towards it at like breakneck speed. And, you know, everyone's just kind of like, I think the thing is, like, we like Twitter and we like social media and we like, you know, streaming and we like smart cars and we like all this stuff because it's easy and convenient. So, like, we're not really paying attention that it's all going to blow up in our face sooner or later. But, you know, I've come to accept that it's going to happen. Like, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just there.
Anyway, there's weird stuff going on. Maybe next week I'll have some more interesting stuff to say. But, yeah.
This is a really cool experiment. I'm excited to see how many followers we get by next week.
I do. I feel like, though, if I told the average person, did you know that you know, people are using massive networks of bots to boost their social media image, people would say, yeah, obviously, why wouldn't they do that?
Like, yeah, but the thing is that people aren't thinking about those ramifications, right? Like, that means that they're controlling, like, mass communication networks by putting in zero effort other than just creating the bots, right? Yeah. And that's kind of scary.
That's not in the news, too.
No, like, it's giving everyone a megaphone, you know, and saying, go, you know. And, yeah, it's not in the news. I don't know.
It's not in the news, but I promise this would not be surprising to anyone. People would just be like, yeah, of course they are. Like, of course.
But
the news doesn't need to say it. Like,
but people don't see that the ramifications for that are so far, far flung. Like, so many bad things can happen from that.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to be an interesting... I think the next 4 years are going to be a really interesting time. Because Twitter is about... maybe 10 years old now. I don't know the exact number. Maybe a little more than 10 years old. Mm-hmm. But in the past 3 years especially, Twitter has gained this critical mass of, like, this mass communication channel where, like, that's where people go for their news. That's where they go for their information. Like, back when it started, it was definitely big, but it was more for, like, fun. It was more for social media. Now it's about content, you know, the news, or opinions about stuff. Like, that's where you go for opinions. And people are very famous on Twitter for their opinions. And when we get to a point where we can't separate, okay, is this a robot that has an opinion or a human that has an opinion? Or is this like a giant mega corporation that's pretending 10,000 people have this opinion? That gets really, it's really weird and really kind of really frightening.
Yeah, but I think that last one is the dangerous one. It's people are pretending that 100,000 people feel this way when really no one feels that way.
But the stupid thing about humans is, I said this before and I'll say it again, we're very smart when we're just alone. You know, with a couple people or just ourselves, we're very smart humans. We're very clever. When you get about, I don't know, what's the critical mass you would say on humans being really dumb? Five, ten people?
I would say, like, 300.
Okay. I mean, it gets at 10, but, like, at 300, it's, like, really dumb. Like, everyone is just collectively really stupid. And when you get these 10,000 bots that are all retweeting this stuff, 100,000, million bots, people are like, well, a million people think this is smart. So maybe I should also, you know, it's that, you want to feel like you're on the same page as somebody else, you know? So, I don't know. That scares me, you know? And I know I'm not giving humanity credit, but, I mean, we're a pretty dumb species when you think about it. And if you feel like everyone else feels some way except you about something, then you're more inclined to change your opinion. And go.
Yeah.
All right. That's enough of that depressing topic.
What do we got? What do we got today?
Thank you for bringing that up.
What are we doing?
So today... we have a very special trivia today. Okay. One of my best friends sent us two. I was supposed to get three, but she was lazy and only gave us two trivia questions. I'm just kidding. It's fine. So we got two trivia questions today sent in by a listener. I think this is the first time for the show that we've actually had listener trivia. We might have done it once before. But this is the first time we've had listener trivia questions sent in. Because, you know, last week we put in a plea to please give us questions because we're running low.
Nice.
So we've got these two great questions sent in by Smellborp. So thank you very much, one of our best fans and one of my good friends. So thank you very much, Smellborp. So the first question, the category is cars. So what?
Do I get a lifeline?
Yeah, you get a lifeline. Okay. Why do you think we should do no lifeline trivia or something like that?
I think I should get a lifeline if it's about cars.
Okay. What lifeline would you? You're gonna only get two lifelines because there's only two questions.
All right, I'll choose 50-50. I'll go hard.
Okay. So, the question is: SI is a trim for many Hondas. What does SI stand for? So the letters SI, it's a trim for many Hondas. What does SI stand for? Is it A, sport injected. B, speed intercepted. C, sport inspired. Or D, speed inspired. Do you need me to go over those again?
They all sound like the same thing to me.
So it's sport injected, speed intercepted, sport inspired, or speed inspired.
I think it's one of the bottom two.
Why is that?
Because injected sounds scary. I don't want it to be injected.
Sport injected. What about speed intercepted?
I don't know, man. They have crazy words for cars. They could be any of these.
It could. Sport injected, speed intercepted, sport inspired, or speed inspired. What are you leaning towards? You're leaning to the bottom two.
I think it's sport inspired because that makes the most logical sense, but cars just sport don't inspired. Make logical sense. Do you remember
Yeah, I can see that.
This is a tangent, but do you remember VTEC?
Yes, I don't know what it is though.
I had an Acura with VTEC.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means, but it had it. I think it's velocity technology or something stupid like that.
Was it good?
I don't know. I guess I loved that car, so I guess it was okay, but...
Maybe that's the problem with your current car. It just doesn't have the VTEC. You go into mechanic and you're like, hey, my car doesn't have VTEC. Can I get that fixed, please? And they're like, sure, I'll hook you up with the VTEC. VTEC, what do you think that stands for?
I think it stands for velocity tech.
Here we go. I'm making that your last trivia question. I only have two.
Okay.
We'll get to that one later. But anyway, you Oh, I got it. Ooh, it's good, too.
Is it?
Oh, it's so good. I'm going to write this down while you think this through.
Okay. I'm going to use 50-50, by the way.
Okay. Sorry, I'm writing this down.
It's okay.
I'll get to this later. Okay, you're using 50-50, and you're leaning... I'm not gonna cheat you out of this, though. So, 50-50... You're leaning to sport inspired, isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm leaning.
Okay. Well, guess what I'm going to do here. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to eliminate sport inspired and speed inspired.
Oh no, it's one of the stupid ones.
So it's either sport injected or speed intercepted.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Sport injected? Are you serious? Who comes up with this shit?
Sport injected or speed intercepted? What do you think?
I think it's got to be sport injected. I mean, because that's the most ridiculous one. You can't inject a sport. It's like you can sort of intercept something speed wise, but at this point, I'm just going with whatever makes the least amount of sense and is just like an amalgamation word salad of cool sounding like, oh,
oh, they got it.
So what are you going with? Sorry.
What was it? Sport injected?
Sport injected or speed intercepted?
I'm going with sport injected.
Because it sounds cool.
Yeah.
Sport injected is correct.
I knew it.
Good job. You would never have gotten that if I did... I was going to do sport injected or speed inspired, or sport inspired, and you would have chose sport inspired.
100%, every single time.
I threw you a bone. You know, it was hard. I don't know what sport injected means. Do they inject it with sports?
It doesn't mean anything. It's the same school of thought as like 13-year-old screen names. It's like dark laser. Dark laser lord excavator.
That's the new Honda trim model, yeah. I hear. Dark laser lord. You know, the new CRV comes in dark laser lord trim. It's like black and red. It looks like Darth Vader, you know? And the front of the grill has like the button thing on, you know, Vader's chest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's the dark laser lord variety of car. All right. What else is going on in the show? Oh, you're coming to visit me in a few weeks.
Yes, I am. I'm so excited.
You are.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. You're only going to be
really
like
am.
A few days, but it'll be fun, I think. But you got a deal on... Oh, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to hang out and relax. Like,
that's what we're gonna do.
I don't know what your plans are.
Are we gonna record an episode that day?
Mm-hmm. We'll see.
That weekend, we'll see. Yeah, we don't want to force it, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I'm excited though. But you got really cheap plane tickets.
Yes, I did. Somehow.
Do you have a technique for finding cheap plane tickets?
I do. First, I fly out of a different city that I have to drive 2 hours to.
Oh yeah.
And then after that, I pick the worst airline I can find. Uh-huh. I picked Spirit Airline. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah, I have. I've heard of them.
So you've heard about them? They're really good.
I've never felt the need to use them as an airline, but I've heard of them. Are they good? Are they really good?
When I ordered my ticket, I had to check a box that made sure I understood that there wasn't very much legroom.
That's how you know you're on a good airline.
That really happened. I really had to agree to that.
Like, caution, this airline is really shitty. Are you sure you want to fly on it?
You're going to be really uncomfortable, just so you know.
This is going to be a really bad time for you. Are you sure you want to do this? And you're like, yep, let's do it. I'm saving $200 or whatever. Have you ever flown Spirit before?
Nope.
This is the first time.
It's going to be an experience.
Are you flying Spirit there and back, or here and back?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to check a box twice then, or just once?
Just once. I think once you, like, get the consent form or whatever it is out of the way.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
The consent form. You have to read, like, a thing. You can't sue Spirit Airlines because we fucked up so much. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing you. I don't usually pick... I usually do like Southwest or Delta, you know, like a reliable air carrier. But yeah. You know, if your Spirit experience is good, I might consider using them. Is it a direct flight?
Yeah, it's direct.
Wow, that's pretty cool. You don't see those a lot, you know.
Yeah, it's only because I'm flying out of Orlando, but
So you have to drive 2 hours.
Like.
And then drive. Yeah, like again.
Southwest was a lot more.
Sure. And probably like double the price at least.
Yeah, it was more than double. Mm. So I just figured, you know, I'm only going for the weekend. I'm just gonna deal with a bad flight and then get it behind me, and then we can hang out and have fun.
Exactly. And your flight's probably only a few hours, so I mean the leg room won't be that bad. I mean it probably will be terrible, but you can get through it. I mean, what's your strategy? We have not talked about this on the show. Do you have a strategy for getting through uncomfortable situations? Not like uncomfortable, like awkward. I mean uncomfortable, like you're literally not comfortable, like where you are. But you know you have to be there for a little while. You know what I mean? Like a perfect example is like when I was a kid, I had to go to church a lot.
And yeah.
It's kind of uncomfortable. And I, you know, how do you get through that? You have to wait there for an hour. You know, do you have a strategy for that or no?
I bet we have similar strategies.
Mm.
I have conversations with imaginary people.
In your head?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of do that too. Maybe not. Maybe in a different way. Is it people that don't exist or people that kind of exist in a way, but they're imaginary in your head?
The second one.
So it's like real people, kind of, but they're like imaginary versions of real people?
Yeah, it's... It's more like, so it'll be, it's like a fictional version of a real person sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
Like if I'm really bored on Spirit Airlines and I'm going to see you,
tell me what you're going to do.
I'll make like fictional version of you and we can like plan what we're going to do or something. Just make sure we have all the plans straight. And like you're not participating in this at all. But once I land, I've already made plans with fictional you. So yeah.
Is fictional me as charming as real me, though?
He's probably the exact same person at this point. I've been working on fictional you for like 20 years.
Wait, so you have conversations with fictional me sometimes?
Yeah, of course. Don't you have conversations with fictional me sometimes?
I have conversations with fictional you, but I feel like the way you're explaining this sounds like you have a very solid grasp of fictional me.
No,
and I only have like a...
It's not like solid, but...
I only have a vague grasp of fictional you. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, you're on Spirit. Oh, go ahead. Yeah. What were you going to say?
No. Or like, you know, if my mom called me beforehand, I'll have like an imaginary conversation with my mom.
With your mom. Yeah, no, I gotcha.
It's like basically whoever I talk to last.
Okay. So in this case, it probably will be me because you'll be like, I'm leaving. And I'll be like, okay, I'll pick you up at the airport.
Yeah.
And then after you get on the plane, you'll be like, okay, so Chris, what are we doing? Da-da-da. And then I'll be like, da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And then, oh, we're so bad at planning things, though. I feel like fictional me would be just as bad at planning as real me. You know, you'd be like, what do you want to do? And I'd be like, I don't know. What do you want to do? And you'd be like, I don't know. What do you want to do?
But that's good because it'll waste time on the flight.
That's true. You can go back and forth for like an hour with that, right? Yeah. That's an interesting thing. We're both the same kind of non-planners, which makes our relationship at once really hard and really fun. And the reason I say that is because a lot of people you meet, they like to plan, you know, they like to make decisive decisions, but not us. You know, we are the opposite of that, you know, because I feel like both of us, when we want to do something, we're like, do you want to do that? And you're like, I don't know if you want to, you know, it's like more of a, you want to kind of please the other person kind of situation, you know what I mean? Which makes planning things hard, but in a way it's kind of fun because some of the most fond memories I have of growing up in, you know, Florida with you are when we had no idea what to do and we couldn't decide because neither of us are decisive and we just, I don't even know how we got to the things we got to, but you know, in the moments of uncertainty, you know what I mean? Those are always an enjoyable thing. And I think another thing, I was having this conversation with somebody at work today. Me and you, we like to scheme, but we never like to make concrete plans, right? So it's like we're scheming about things, and that in and of itself is more fun than actually doing the thing sometimes. Yeah.
You know what else is fun? When you've been going back and forth with someone for a long time about what to do, and no decision has been made. And then eventually it gets to the point where, okay, we're just going to go do this if we can't decide anything. And then eventually you move towards doing that, and it's something really bad. It's something neither person wants to do.
It's like a compromise thing.
Yeah. Yes. And then, like, me and you will be saying to each other, like, wow, I'm having a lot of fun doing this. Are you sure you don't want to do something else?
And the other person will be like, no, I'm having a great time. This is so
I'll
much
do
fun.
This all day.
It's like you're trying to call each other's bluffs, but neither
I'm
one wants to
fun.
Budge. Like, you're like, this is great. Yeah, I love it. This is so much fun. I feel like we've done that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
It's fine. Looking, it never in the moment though do we admit it. It's only like afterwards. It's like, wow, that was really stupid.
I can't believe we did that for like 3 hours. Like,
it's because we'll get to an ultimatum. We're like, okay, if we can't decide, we're doing this really dumb thing, and we'll be like, okay, got it. And then we like try to figure something else out, and we can't come to a decision. And they're like, well, I guess we're doing the dumb thing. And the other person's like, okay, let's go. And it's like one person's like waiting for the other person to like make a real decision. And like neither of us actually make a decision, so we're like waiting, like, okay, I'm gonna do it, let's go. It's like, okay, let's do it. It's like, okay, I'm ready. It's like, all right, let's go. And then like we do it, and it's really stupid. But these things happen. I'm sure we'll be doing that a lot when you come to visit. But
oh yeah,
I don't know. It makes a good story, right? So there's that. What else is going on? You ready for your second trivia question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Your second trivia question comes from Smellborp again. Thank you, Smellborp, for sending these in. You're going to love this one, I just have to say. The category... This might be one of my favorite trivia questions we've ever had on the show before. The category is movies.
Okay.
What lifeline would you like for movies?
I'll take Monty Hall, but I'm going to try not to use it.
Okay. Monty Hall. Are you familiar with the movie Home Alone? Who is it?
Yeah, I love that movie.
Okay, love it. So, how old was Macaulay Culkin's stunt double in Home Alone?
Damn.
Was it A, 10, B, 18, C, 20, or D, 30?
Yikes. It could be any of these. This is a really good trivia question.
Wow. Isn't it good? It's great.
10, 18, 20, or 30?
He could be 30.
I know, he could be any age.
10, 18, 20, 30?
Yep, that's right.
All right, let me throw some logic at you. I bet you okay. It's 18 to 30.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think you have someone doing stunts who is 10 years old. Like, that that kind of defeats the purpose of a stunt double if you're just, like, throwing another child down the stairs that isn't the original child. But, like,
maybe
I don't know how Hollywood works.
Maybe it's, like, an orphan or something.
Maybe they just get, like, a less good kid.
He's not famous. Like, just find someone that isn't Macaulay Culkin and throw him down the stairs instead. Yeah. I wonder, do they have child stunt doubles? That'd be interesting. I mean, bet they don't.
Surely they do, right?
You think? No, I mean children who are stunt doubles.
What are you going to do for, like, Harry Potter? They were, like, under 18.
This is going to sound really politically incorrect, but you could get little people for the...
It's not the same.
If you do it just from behind, maybe it'll work.
Oh, man. No. Movies have gotten really good. You gotta get a parent who's, like, really desperate for their kid to be famous. You know what I mean? And then you say to them, like, listen, you can be Daniel Radcliffe's stunt double. Stunt double. Do you know how good on your acting resume that'll look for little Jimmy? Like,
right. It'll be so good. You'll get all the parts, you know. And it's like, this is the way to break into the industry. I'm telling you. Being Daniel.
And the mom's like, yes, son. Throw him down the stairs. Light him on fire. It doesn't matter. Just do
whatever.
It.
Like, do whatever it takes. Jimmy's going to be a star.
I mean, maybe. I think it's little people. But that's just me. I don't know. Maybe it is children. But I feel like there's probably, if they're allowed to do it, the law would have to be more stringent with them. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They would have to have something, parental consent to throw young Jimmy down the stairs or something like that first. Oh, that would be rough. Maybe it's a bunch of orphans. Like, it's kids that nobody cares about.
Yeah. I mean, that's possible, too. Like,
I mean, that's super depressing. And, of course, I care about orphans, and I don't want to see them thrown down the stairs. But Hollywood is evil, you know?
Yeah. I mean, this isn't Hollywood, but, you know, you saw, like, Seven Samurai. I'm pretty sure some horses died in that movie. And horses are, like, basically kids. I mean, horses, you're really splitting hairs at that point.
Horse kid, whatever. Yeah. I mean, you're harming a being that is sentient.
Yeah.
In
the name,
like,
of
child.
A film.
In the chamber of film. I'm sure, I think in some movie, there's, like, a chimpanzee that died. You know, that's the same kind of thing as a child.
Yeah.
I mean, not really, but, like, a toddler is the same intelligence as a chimpanzee, right?
Yeah, but they're, like, way uglier, so it's better.
Children or chimpanzees?
Which answer would be funnier?
I honestly don't know.
We'll just leave it to the audience to guess which one you meant. But back to the question, how old was Macaulay Culkin's stunt double in Home Alone? Was it 10, was it 18, was it 20, or was it 30? What are you leaning here? Like, logic me through it a little more.
I think it's 30.
Why is that?
Just because that would be the coolest answer.
I love your logic of these questions. That would be the coolest one, so that's the one I want to go with.
I'm going to Monty Hall 10, but I'm going to say without you saying... Without you telling me yet, I would pick 30 if I didn't have a lifeline.
Really? You're that confident in 30?
I'm not that confident. I just really want it to be 30, and I don't have, like...
You would love it to be 30.
I would love it to be 30.
You would love that that Macaulay Culkin, stunt double in Home Alone, was a 30-year-old man. You would love that.
Yeah, I would tell everybody that if that was true.
So that would become, like, a new fun fact for you?
Yeah.
Do you have those, like, fun facts on file that you're ready to go, you know? This would just become one of them.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah. Okay, lock it in 10. So it is either 10 Or 30.
Yes. 30, final answer.
30 is correct.
Yes.
I feel like you're more excited that the answer is 30 than you winning the trivia.
Absolutely. That's awesome. What were they thinking? They couldn't find an 18-year-old? Like,
I don't know. Maybe they got a 30-year-old that looked really like Macaulay Culkin. I don't really
Macaulay
know
Culkin didn't look old when he was like 10.
He did
10.
Not look old. No, he didn't.
I mean, he looks old now. But
he was a 10-year-old kid.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were thinking. Maybe it was a... I don't want to say it. Maybe
it wasn't a little person.
How do you know?
I
don't
know. But that's not... It wasn't...
Well, how do you know? Macaulay Culkin was really short in Home Alone because he's a kid. He's 10 years old. So what are they going to do? Find a 30-year-old that's like that short in real life? Or are they going to just like do some weird camera tricks?
I think camera tricks.
To make him look shorter?
Yeah. Get someone who's really skinny and just film him from behind.
Put him in one of those stupid Christmas sweaters.
Sweaters, yeah.
You know, have his hair, like the blonde comb thing going on, and just film him from behind.
Lots of makeup and have him hold a Pepsi.
And then you got it. You know, there were probably a lot of stunts that he had to do in that movie because he does a lot of things in Home Alone. You know, he's running and jumping and swinging on things. There's a zip line scene, I think, at one point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that 30-year-old had a lot to do. So yeah, there's your new fun fact. Are you excited about that for the rest of your life to tell people that Home Alone stunt double at 30 years old? Okay. What else we got? You want to get into some Reddits or something? I don't know. We got anything over there?
Sure. I have a Reddit question that might go pretty good with what we've talked about so far.
I'm excited. Let's do it.
So this was posted by Abby Shalhan. Thank you, Abby.
Thank you, Abby.
The question is not worded well, so I'm just going to word it how I think she means it or he means it. Is there anyone out there who will share their Netflix with me?
Like a random stranger?
Yeah.
You know who I bet would share Netflix with? Abby was her name?
Mm-hmm.
I think John Bugenhagen is the ideal candidate for this right here.
I don't think he shares.
Do you think he doesn't share? I think he shares when it gains him something.
Okay.
Oh, see?
That's true. You know, I like that.
Are you going to share your Netflix account with Abby?
No, but it made me think, like, why not?
Don't people do this?
Why wouldn't I share it with Abby?
This is a good question, actually. Because we've built a society on these new, this is stupid, subscription service things.
Yeah.
And you can share it with as many people as you want. Well, not as many, like three other people. And it's kind of weird that we don't have, like, this website for people to share HBO with each other.
Yeah, whatever. Like a ride share or something.
Yeah, like a ride share or a communal Netflix account where you can split it three ways or whatever.
Yeah.
It's weird that we don't have that.
I mean, if I go on Craigslist or wherever right now, or whatever website, I can find a roommate and I'll trust that person with, you know, sleeping in the same building as them. I'll trust them with paying rent, with all that. Yeah. Why isn't there a way that I can find someone to share a Netflix account with?
Yeah, that is weird. Maybe the reason is because you have to trade passwords, and in order to do that, you need to be able to log into the Netflix website, and you might expose your credit card information.
It's hidden. They mask it.
Is it?
You know,
is
when
it?
You go to the payment page, they use the dot, 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 dot. You can't see the actual number.
So you actually have to put it. You'd have to put it in. So let's say this. Like, let's say we're strangers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I have a Netflix account. Do you want to share it? And you're on Craigslist. And you're like, what do you say? You're like, sure, or something, right?
Yeah.
And I go and I make a Netflix account. And then I give you the password. And then you confirm you can log in. And then I just give you PayPal, and I'm like, hey, PayPal me half of Netflix every month, and then I'll just keep giving you access. I'll just, you know, you can continue to use it. Boom. Right? We just did it, right? And we're strangers.
That's all you have to do. Yeah.
Right? Theoretically.
Now, the person that initiates it will control the email address that is used to set up the account, so they could theoretically lock someone out of the account. But if they do that, you just stop paying them.
Stop paying them, yeah.
Like, it's not really a big deal.
It's not, because
say the worst that could happen in this situation is I pay you my PayPal, and the day after, you lock me out of the account.
Yeah.
And okay, now I'm down $7. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not paying you in a big chunk or anything like that. I'm down $7, and you kind of screwed me over for 1 month to Netflix.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think that risk is worth getting half off Netflix for, you know, indefinitely. Don't you?
Yeah. And I think the average person isn't going to do that, you know?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, that's kind of what eBay is built on. Like, yeah, just give me the money and I'll send you the thing.
This weird trust thing, yeah. You know?
Like, I don't have to send you the thing. There's not a rule.
You know, it's true. I mean, eBay would get mad at you, but, like, what are they going to do about it? Like, send the eBay police to you? There's not really anything they can do. They can ban you from eBay. It's interesting. This is kind of an interesting business idea you kind of stumbled upon here. And it's, like, account sharing, like, third-party account sharing software.
Yeah.
That allows you to kind of mask your presence. Like, if I wanted to share my account with you, but I didn't want to give you my, like, full name and all that stuff, like, if there was an intermediary where we could both, say, log into this service, put our information in, and then the service is the thing that registers for Netflix and then gives us the credentials back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a way to do that, right? And so, like, strangers can basically share subscriptions to whatever the hell they want, you know?
Yeah. But
I don't know. We probably don't have that because they would get sued to crazy lengths by Netflix and Amazon and blah, 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 blah. But
here's what we got to do. We're just going to, from now on, share accounts for everything. And the name we'll use is John Bugenhagen. John, you know, johnbugenhagen@gmail.com.
Right.
And
I need to get on that if that's not a thing already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then we won't have to pay. Like, we each have Netflix, right? We each pay for that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, I have Netflix. Like, why do we both have Netflix?
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't make sense. You're one person. I'm one person. Why don't we both just share the Netflix, you know? Yeah. I think the
you know what's even crazier? My parents have Netflix. My sister has Netflix. Like, we all pay separately.
Why, though? You know, like, I think Netflix, you're allowed to share with, like, you can, like, stream, like, three different devices at once. So, like, you know, if you want to watch Netflix while I watch Netflix and we're on the same account, it still works. So, like, why aren't we sharing Netflix? It's weird. You know? I think some people do it, but I don't know.
Yeah, more people should. It's a good idea.
Yeah, we'll just make John Bugenhagen and then we'll make it happen. Oh, this is a good question. How do you like your eggs cooked? I feel like this says a lot about you as a human being. In general.
Yeah. How do you like yours cooked?
I like mine over medium. And I have an explanation for that. But I want to hear your answer first.
Over easy.
Over easy. Okay. So, we probably actually like the same kind of eggs. I just get it over medium. And the reason I get it over medium, when I'm cooking eggs myself, I'm basically making an over-easy egg. But when I order at a restaurant, I always get over-medium. And the reason is because I would prefer them to err on the side of hard yolks than on the side of, like, sunny-side-up style yolks, where it's, like, really gooey and stuff. Like, I like the yolk. I like runny yolk. But I don't want, like, the white of the egg to be, like, gel. You know what I mean? So I always say over medium all the time. Because usually I get, like, a almost over easy egg anyway. It's just a little more cooked. So the yolk is still gooey or whatever. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
That's a good explanation. I personally don't really mind a little bit of egg white. It doesn't bother me that much. But
yeah.
And, that's true. You know, if I'm cooking eggs at home, I'm never making over easy or over medium or any of that kind of eggs.
What are you doing?
It's scrambled, like, every single time.
Scrambled is so easy.
And it's so good if you make them
at home. That's the great thing about... Yeah. The great thing about scrambled eggs, I've noticed, is I've never had scrambled eggs better than scrambled eggs cooked at my home or, like, my family's home.
Yeah.
Like, I've gotten scrambled eggs at restaurants.
They're trash.
Before, like, they're awful. Like, they are the worst thing. Every time I have them at home, if I make them, if my mom makes them, whoever makes them, they're great. I'm always like, these are delicious. And then I go to a restaurant, immediately they're like the worst thing ever. Like, yeah. I would never order. It's like the weirdest food. Like, I don't know what it is about cooking it at home versus a restaurant, but they just don't know what they're doing at restaurants. Because every time I make scrambled eggs, I'm like, oh, these are really good, you know?
Yeah.
But
I feel the exact same way. It's just everywhere you order them, they screw them up.
I've never had good scrambled eggs at a restaurant in my life. And it's funny because I've tried cooking eggs not scrambled at my house, and I'm like, oh, this was a mistake. You know, like, I don't do them good. Eggs. But when I make scrambled, like, they're always good. They always turn out good. I think what it is, my theory is I put, like, a shit ton of, like, milk or half and half or whatever in there. Like, I really get them fluffy, you know what I mean?
That's how you do it.
I feel like in restaurants, they probably don't want to put too much of their milk in there because they're using, I mean, I don't know what you do with your scrambled eggs, but they don't make them as fluffy because they're trying to save on ingredients, and you end up getting these really dry, bad scrambled eggs that aren't very good.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I never order my eggs scrambled at restaurants. It's just not good.
Yeah, but you never should, because they won't make them right.
They won't. They really won't.
I got another one if you want.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do
this one's topical. This was posted by Cursed273. Thanks, Cursed.
Thank you, Cursed273.
He says, regarding the Area 51 raid tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think's going to happen?
Is that still happening?
I don't know. He thinks it is.
So I heard like a week ago that the guy, so it started as a Facebook event, right? You've heard about that, right?
Yeah.
Like some rando on Facebook made the event and he created it. I heard a week ago he canceled the event, like he deleted it from Facebook. So, but, you know, it's kind of too late, right? The momentum has already gotten there, and I think other people have started other events in its place, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So I still think something's going to happen, but I don't think much is going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think is going to
happen? I don't think anything's going to happen. I think it's not a very good idea. But
it's a terrible idea. People will get shot.
I don't think you should ever try to, like, raid a military installation. That's not...
probably a bad idea.
Not the first place you should raid if you're going to raid running, somewhere.
Running towards a military installation, I think they have codified as an act of, like, war or whatever. And, like, they... I don't agree with this, but they probably have the right somewhere to just shoot you on sight if you pass the gates. So... Don't run into Area 51. What I think is going to happen is I think people are going to gather near the gate as like a neckbeardy, you know, ironic hipster nerd thing. You know what I mean? And be like,
they're going to do that thing where they're like, I'm not touching you. I'm not touching you.
Uh-huh. And they'll be like, let's raid the thing. And they're like, okay, let's go. I'm ready. And they're like, all right, let's go. And then no one's going to actually do it. But I think some people are going to probably show up as, like, a jokey thing. It's like the stupid fucking potato salad shit. Ugh, what? People are so... Remember a few years ago, we talked about this on the show. Someone made, like, a Kickstarter to make potato salad, and it got, like, $20,000 or something
Oh,
like that.
No. I didn't want to think about that again.
I'm sorry I brought it up. But people actually paid for this thing. And one guy, like, donated, like, $1,000 to this thing. And then the Kickstarter ended, and that guy was like, oh, shit, my $1,000 is gone. It's like, yeah, you just donated to a stupid potato salad Kickstarter, you dumbass. But my point is that we're living in this weird society where people want to prove they're really funny and, like, clever, and so much so that they are willing to spend actual money on a joke that doesn't do anything. And it's a similar thing with Area 51, because while they're not spending money directly... they're damn sure spending money to get to Area 51, you know, to show up for the joke or whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, like, I bet some guy bought a plane ticket for this stupid raid. It probably cost him $400 unless he, you know, is flying Spirit Airlines or whatever. But, you know, he probably spent, like, $40 to get to Area 51, show up outside the gate and be like, let's raid Area 51, and then not do it. And be like, okay, was it worth the plane ticket and the 2 days off work to... show up outside the gate of Area 51? Probably not.
Okay, let's quantify this. So, you $400 for a plane ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say you're going to, what, the raid happens tomorrow, so that's a Friday, so it happens on a weekend. Yeah. You probably just need, like, 1 day off of work.
Okay, you could swing one day off.
Yeah.
So you fly out tonight.
Yeah, you fly out tonight. You get there tomorrow morning. You do your raid. You maybe hang out.
You do the raid.
You hang out.
I like how that's just a footnote. You do the raid.
Hang out for the weekend. Because you already spent $400 on a plane ticket.
You might as well hang out for the weekend.
I think in Area 51, they have all that cool, like, alien touristy stuff you can do, too.
You stay at a motel.
Yeah, so let's just say, like, what, $50, $100 a day?
$50 a night.
$100 a day.
Yeah, $100 a day.
So that's $700 for the Area 51 vacation. Because it's probably surge pricing
because all the raiders that are there, you know, it's expensive.
Oh, true.
They'll take advantage of it. So it's probably $100 a night, you know. So 400 plus, what, two nights, three nights?
Three.
That's $700.
Yeah.
That's $700 plus food, gas. You know, you're staring down almost $1,000 to do this joke. You know what I mean?
So for you to do the joke... How many people would need to be there? Because I feel like that's directly proportionable, you like how I said that, to how fun it would be, is how many people were there.
See, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I feel like it would be more fun with the least amount of people there. Like, if there's like 1,000 people, I do not want to go. But if there's like 10... All right, I'll reconsider. 10 random strangers? I don't know. That sounds kind of unique and weird. I mean, I think it'll be uncomfortable. Really uncomfortable. But, you know what I mean? Like, it'll be weird and a weird experience and kind of fun.
You know, I think I'm with you. I think any more than 50 people, I wouldn't even consider it. But if it was just, like, 20 people...
That really committed to the joke.
You might get $800 out of me. Like... Maybe.
Now, here's the thing. Are you going really for the joke at that point? Or are you just going to watch these 20 other really weird people, you know, at this
event? I'm going for the journey. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to have a journey.
You don't really care about the raid. It's more about this event kind of thing that you're sharing with 20 random strangers. And the interesting thing about the 20 random strangers is you don't know... Out of the 20 random strangers, who else is there for this journey / people watching experience?
Yeah.
Versus how many people are there to like actually be like joking, like for the joke, if you will. You know what I mean?
Here's what I think happens. When you get there, the group of 10 people, let's just say that me, you, and like 8 other people are there.
Of course it would be us.
I wouldn't go if like I didn't like know someone there.
I would go with you to this thing. Anyway,
so
we get there.
Immediately when we get there, we start doing the raid. And once the raid is happening, it becomes very apparent who's there for the joke and who's there for a meaningful, like, experience.
Experience.
Then the groups will split. Uh-huh. And, like, the really serious journey people will be in a group. And then, like, the jokey people will be in another group. And I think we'll be in the journey group.
Sure. And then... We're going to, like, bond with them.
Yeah.
And what do you do at an event with people you've never known before? What do you do with them?
You drink.
First, you all go to Denny's.
Yes, together. Absolutely.
That's very important to any convention thing. And then you drink. But Denny's first.
Yeah.
So you do the raid. So the itinerary is fly in, land, stay at a Motel 6, do some UFO stuff. Go to the Area 51, do the raid, get in the journey group, go to Denny's, then drink, and then you go home. And that's it. That's the journey. Right?
Yeah, and then you're out $800, but it was worth it.
It was worth it. Hey, that sounds kind of fun. I would do that. I still want to go to Area 51, preferably with you, to see what it's all about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I want to go when there's like a UFO. We talked about this on the show. Well, maybe not on the show, but in person. We were talking about going to a UFO convention once, remember? Mm-hmm. Just to see what it's like. Because I don't really believe in a lot of that, but I'm fascinated by the people that do. So I think it would be fun.
I'm down to do that. There is a lot of like UFO tourism in that area that we could...
Yeah.
There would be like tiny, stupid, little fun stuff to do to keep us busy.
Yeah, I just don't want to go, and this is the problem I have with the raid. I don't want to go to something that's, like, ironic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I want to go to something where the people that are there like, are really there for a reason. Like, a UFO thing where people are like, yeah, I really believe in all this UFO. Or the raid thing, like, yeah, I really want to raid Area 51. Like, I want to see the, I want to see those people. I don't want to do that, but I want to see those people.
Yeah.
You know? Because they're, I don't know, they're fascinating to me, I think.
I agree.
We have a final trivia that I kind of made up as the show progressed.
Okay.
Do you want to do that? This is inspired by our first Cars trivia.
Yes.
So you said you had a VTEC Honda, or Acura back in the day, right?
Same thing, Honda Acura.
Okay, yeah. So VTEC is a term that stands for what? Is it velocity technology? Is it variable valve timing lift electronic control?
Jeez.
Is it vaulted tech timing chronology? Or is it variable electronic correction?
It could be any of these.
It could.
Velocity tech.
Velocity technology, variable valve timing, lift electronic control, vaulted tech timing chronology, variable tech electronic correction.
It's the second one.
Which one? Variable valve timing, lift electronic control.
Yeah, it's got to be that one.
Why do you say that?
Because I just feel it in my soul. I think you made up the other ones.
Because it's the dumbest one?
It's the most car-sounding one.
Variable valve timing, lift electronic control.
Final answer. That's my final answer.
You're just going to find? Yeah. Variable valve timing, lift electronic control is correct.
I knew it.
Man, I'm bad at the car. If I spent a little longer on this one, I bet I could have had a really good trivia question. But I did it in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, so, and I, you know, velocity technology was what you came up with. So that was.
Yeah. I knew because that one wasn't even close to the other ones. Like, I was way wrong.
It was a lot of words.
Yeah.
Variable valve timing, lift electronic control. Like, it doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what that means. I mean, to be fair, I don't know what any of these mean, yeah. But I especially don't know what that means.
It probably means about as much as sports injected.
Sports injected or speed intercepted.
Yeah.
I like speed intercepted better because it sounds cool. We have a Reddit here from Captain Barnaby. Well, that's a great name, Captain Barnaby. They ask, if every single serial mascot fought, which one would end up being the winner? That's tough.
It's got to be Tony the Tiger, right?
You think it's Tony? Because he's so sporty? He's like sport injected, really.
And he's a tiger.
He's going to say.
That helps.
Oh, right, I forgot about that. I just imagine, whenever I think of Tony the Tiger, I think of him like spinning a basketball on his hand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because he's always doing something sporty. I forgot he was a tiger for a second there. But yes, he is a tiger, and he can probably just murder everyone else.
Who else do we have? Captain Crunch? He isn't going to make it. I don't think he's going to make it.
So when I read... When I read this question, the first guy I thought of was Captain Crunch, because I was like, he's a captain. Maybe he'll be good at war or something.
No.
But the more I think about it, he's just like, he's like a fat Santa Claus looking guy. Like, he's not going to do much unless he's got access to a weapon. You know, maybe he's really good at shooting people. But I think we're going to have to say that they only have what's on their, like, as part of their mascot. You know what I mean? Like, Captain Crunch can't take out an Uzi because that's not part of Captain Crunch, the mascot. You know what I mean?
I think he has a sword, actually.
So he has a sword. So there you go. So he's got a sword because he's a captain of a ship. That's his weapon. He's got a sword. Tony, the tiger, maybe he has a soccer ball. You know what
yeah.
I mean? I mean, he's also a tiger, so that's useful in its own right. But he's got a soccer ball and his teeth. And then who else we got? We got Count Chocula.
Yeah, he's a vampire. That's pretty strong.
He can turn into a bat.
Yes.
And he has sharp teeth. So, I mean, that's good.
Lucky Charms. I don't know his name, but...
Lucky Charms. The leprechaun
guy.
Yeah,
the leprechaun man.
I mean, does he really stand a chance, though?
He can make things. He can make Lucky Charms. I don't know if he can make anything else.
He can make...
He can make as many of them as he wants. So his strategy would just be to fire Lucky Charms at people from his hand or whatever. Yeah. Like, he'd basically do, like, a Kamehameha of Lucky Charms at other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're just marshmallows, so I don't know how effective that would be as a weapon.
He could do, a Grey Goo strategy. Like, he manifests infinitely many Lucky Charms, and it just overwhelms the universe, kind of.
Okay.
There's just so many Lucky Charms.
What is Grey Goo strategy?
It's that idea that there's going to be a biological AI that learns how to reproduce, and it'll just eat everything.
Oh, and they, like, spread everywhere.
So everything.
He could do that with Lucky Charms.
Yeah.
But wouldn't that eat him, too?
Yes, but he won.
But he would win because it's his weapon.
Yes.
So that's what we're calling win. Like, if you're responsible for the deaths of all the other mascots, even if you die, you've won.
I mean,
that's our victory condition.
That's totally victory, right?
I mean, that's how real life works. You're not right. What about the Raisin Bran mascot? It's literally the sun.
Ooh, that's a powerful one, too.
Yeah. I don't know if he's actually as large as the sun, though. But he is a sun. You know what I mean?
You know what I'd like to do for a Raisin Bran advertising campaign?
What?
I want the sun to become, like, the sun god in Egypt. And then you have, like, a pharaoh Raisin Bran man.
Oh, shit. That would be so dope. I would want to eat... I mean, I love Raisin Bran, but I would want to eat...
What's in... Raisin Bran has just raisins and...
Bran.
It's, like, not the best cereal, but... Maybe you could get a special edition with hieroglyphs.
As the Bran Flakes.
Yes.
That would be so cool. I'm going to tell you this right now. I love Raisin Bran. It's my favorite cereal. And I know it's just raisins and bran. And everyone makes fun of me that I like Raisin Bran, but there's something about the simplicity of Raisin Bran that's just really, I don't know, it just really speaks to me, you know what I mean? The bran is not good. It's like this bad, branny, like, it just tastes like nothing, you know, it's like a cardboardy bran flavor. But the raisins are really good because they're raisins. I love raisins. And something about, like, mixing those two flavors, one really awful bran flavor with this delicious raisin, it just, like, really works for me. You know, I really love it.
So. It does have a really good texture. It's, like, dense, but, like, watery.
It's, like, the more I describe it, the worse it sounds. But it's great. I love it. I don't know why. I can't explain it. But, yeah, Raisin Bran, if they changed the mascot, I'd be very excited. The one with the two, like, I think they have, like, double Raisin Bran, like, with extra
raisins. Oh, man, double raisins?
Raisins?
That's a lot of raisins. Are you sure you can do that?
That's the good one, though, the double raisin one. I don't know. I don't think Raisin Bran Man would win. If he was Egyptian pharaoh kind of guy, he probably has a chance, because he's basically a god at that point,
yeah.
Right? He's, like, Horus or whatever, the god of the sun.
Get some plagues or whatever.
But for the purpose of this question, I think it's between Tony the Tiger and, would you say Count Chocula, probably?
Yeah, he's a vampire.
Yeah, I think Tony would win, though, still. I mean, he's a tiger. Like, what is Count Chocula going to do? Fly at him?
Maybe. Maybe Tony's afraid of vampires.
Maybe. I mean, what I imagine going down is Count Chocula is doing all this, you know, vampire stuff. Turns into a bat, and then Tony the Tiger, like, throws a football at him, you know, and knocks him down, and then he just eats him, you know what I mean? That's how I imagine that going down.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, that's probably how it would go down.
I'm going to say to Captain Barnaby, it's Tony the Tiger. I mean, he's a freaking tiger at the end of the day, right? So, what else you can do? All right, you want to do one more Reddit and then call it?
Sure.
You got anything?
I have one. I don't know if it's good. Do you have one?
I love bad ones. Let's do it.
Okay. This was posted by Caddy DZ. Thank you, Caddy DZ.
Thank you, Caddy DZ.
He asks, why is a dove a symbol of peace?
I actually don't know the answer to that.
Neither do I.
Let's make up an answer
okay.
to why we think it is. Okay, so it's... God. I'm going to say it anyway.
So
it's fine.
You have to pretend for a minute.
So I'm not...
I was going to say, you have to pretend for a minute that you don't know that the dove is the symbol of peace. Like, let's just pretend we don't know that. We have to come up for a reason.
Okay. I'm going to say... This is going to sound racist, but it's not me. It's the people that decided that the dove is a symbol of peace. The dove is white. It's a white bird. And white in the day symbolized purity and, you know, serenity and peace. You know, it's like the color. And the fact that the dove is all white and it doesn't have any spots on it of any other colors. And it has like a very... like regal, like kind of look to it.
Okay, like back up. Have you ever met a dove? They're the stupidest birds in the whole world. They're so dumb they can barely survive. Like,
aren't they just like pigeons that are white? Basically,
they're like hamsters that look like symbols of peace. Like, they're so dumb.
Well, then I don't know why it's a symbol of peace.
Maybe you can trap a dove in a cage and it'll. It won't even... I don't know. There's no way to describe a dove.
It'll just die.
It's just a stupid bird.
Maybe the person that decided that dove was a symbol of peace has never met a dove before. They just saw a picture of it, and they're like, wow, that's, it looks so peaceful, that animal. Maybe it's because it's so dumb. It's a symbol of peace, right? Because dumb people are at peace all the time because they don't know any better.
Maybe.
Who's our sponsor today, Pat Sacks?
Our sponsor today is Internet Rideshare. When you want to share your internet accounts with a stranger,
use IRS. That's great. That's a great name. Remember, when you're feeling kind of groovy,
go and see a movie.
Yeah. Go do it. Good night, everyone. Drive safely, and we'll see you next week. Bye. All right.